Salvation is not probation. The good news is not a message about probationary salvation. You can be saved if you can keep it. That is not a saving message. That's a false gospel.
In the book of Acts, we meet a magician named Simon who tries to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Was he saved or lost? Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. We're continuing a series called Saved or Lost, in which we ask the question of conflicted Bible characters. Our discussion leaders, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, are going to tell us what we need to know about Simon the Magician. Here's our Grace in Focus discussion for today.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean. I'm here with Bob Wilkin, and we're discussing, this is a new series for us, and it's called Saved or Lost, and we're looking at kind of interesting Bible characters that some people say there's just no possible way this person was a believer, there's just no possible way this person had eternal life because of their bad behavior. Can you tell us what lies behind that type of objection? There's a view of the gospel that lies behind that type of objection.
Well, there is, and ultimately the problem is people view the justice of God in such a way that God cannot justly give everlasting life to bad people. He can give everlasting life to people who are bad now, but they can't stay bad once they get it.
That's right. I was just reading last night in a book by a holiness author, and it's Perfect Love, I think. He was writing in the 20s, and he writes something. We all know that you get justified in a moment, and it's by faith apart from works. But we also all know that in order to keep that justification, we have to avoid sinning. A lot of churches teach that.
A lot do.
And that is not true.
That is not true. And the other aspect of that, which is very close to it, is the idea that if you're truly born again, you will prove it by persevering in faith and good works.
You will never. You might make mistakes, they'll say. Okay, even every Christian, you have to admit everybody makes quote-unquote mistakes, and by mistakes they mean little sins. They don't
right.
mean a mistake is like turning right on red in a city where that's not allowed. But they say you can commit little sins, but a true believer will never commit major sin. That'll never happen. So if anyone commits major sin, that's a sign that they never was saved in the first place. And that can really mess people up.
Well, not only can it mess people up, but it ultimately keeps them from being born again. Because if they do not believe the message of John 3:16, well, then they're not born again. And the message of John 3:16 is whoever believes in him, not whoever behaves in him.
Right. The message is if you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, you have that life as a present possession, and
right.
it's everlasting. Salvation is not probation. The good news is not a message about probationary salvation. You can be saved if you can keep it. That is not a saving message. That's a false gospel.
Right.
That's a false gospel. All right, well, one of these characters that people cannot believe was genuinely saved is a fellow named Simon the Magician, and he appears in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 24. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Okay, so he's a sorcerer, all right? He's
right.
Is he an illusionist, or is he actually working with dark magic or dark powers? We don't really know.
I don't know, yeah.
But he certainly claimed to be someone great, and people were very impressed by him. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Whew, that is some title.
Right, and this is setting the stage for what happens after he comes to faith, and he sees what Peter and John can do, and he sees the real great power of God.
Right.
But this is setting the stage.
Verse 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. So he has a lot of social power. He has social
right.
standing. He has social power. A lot of people look up to him. They're very impressed by him. So I wonder if he thought that he actually had powers or not, or if he knew it was all a sham. But let's keep on reading. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So Philip comes preaching the gospel. People believe it and are baptized.
Right. And remember, Philip is called an evangelist. He's Philip the evangelist.
Even though he was a deacon serving people, he was also preaching.
Right.
And very effectively.
Right. Notice the words, when they believed Philip.
Mm-hmm.
The issue here is belief. It's not works.
Right.
It's believing the message concerning Jesus. Notice it talks about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus.
And what did Jesus say in John 3:16 would happen if you believe?
You'd have everlasting life.
So
you'd never perish.
That's a code word. If the New Testament tells us that someone believed, then guess what? They believed. All right?
This isn't these people professing to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Luke telling us they believed.
This is inspired scripture telling us he believed. Now,
and they were baptized.
And they were baptized.
Yeah.
Well, now listen to this next verse, verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed.
Also believed, absolutely.
So if you are a Bible student and the Bible tells you that someone believed, then what do we know is true of him?
Yeah, he believed.
He believed. And if you believed, what do you have?
You have everlasting life. Now, the problem with this is what goes on is going to lead people to say, wait a minute, this guy looks like he may have messed up. And if he messed up, how could he really be saved?
Right.
Well, we need to realize that not only can brand new Christians mess up, which this guy was a brand new believer.
Right. I mean, this is day one.
Right. But even people who've been in the faith for years can fall away. And haven't we all read about pastors who've had doctrinal falls, moral falls, other things?
Absolutely. So verse 13, and when he was baptized, so Simon believed and he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And now it's Simon's turn to be amazed, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So just as the people were amazed by Simon's kind of sorceries, now he is amazed by the miracles wrought at the hands of Philip.
Right, and what we're going to see in the verses which follow, and we probably don't have time to go through every verse, the apostles hear that the Samaritans had received the word, and so they send two of the key apostles, Peter and John, down to them. Because at this point in the early church, people did not receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith. They had to have someone lay hands on them. So Peter and John come and lay hands on these new believers in Samaria. And they receive the Spirit.
And there's some type of demonstration, something that's visible, something happens.
Right.
And Simon sees it.
Right. And he experiences it, too, because they lay hands on him, too.
Oh, interesting.
So he wants that power.
Right. So in verse 18, he says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He was used to having these powers and wowing people, and he's kind of getting that wow effect looking at the apostles. He wants to buy it from them.
Right, and this is now called simony. It's called the sin of simony, and it's people who want to buy church office. People want to buy the privilege of doing certain things in the church.
Right.
But notice how Peter responds. It's very harsh.
Right, very harsh. And by the way, we don't know what Simon's intentions were.
Right.
Did he want this power for selfish gain? Was he just like, I don't know, everyone else sells power. Maybe I have to. Was it just ignorance? Verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So Peter has a very harsh rebuke. All right, he tells him basically to perish. He says you don't have a part or portion in this matter. He says your heart is not right with God. He calls him to repent of wickedness, that maybe he might be forgiven. Now, a lot of people are going to hear all of those terms and think, well, clearly this is an unsaved person because true believers don't need to repent. True believers don't need to be forgiven. True believers have a right heart with God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which might be an optimistic evaluation of believers, don't you think?
Exactly right. Believers do need forgiveness. Believers do need, if they stray, to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And believers can experience times of failure. I read an article recently on this passage, and the theologian who was talking about it said, this is a brand new believer. Is it any big surprise that he's failed here?
Yeah, exactly.
He said, haven't we all had people that have just come to faith in Christ in our church, and in the first week they say something dumb or they do something dumb,
uh-huh,
and their doctrine isn't correct?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and he said we need to realize that brand new believers can experience problems, failure. Of course, even people who've been believers for many years can. But the point here is a lot of people see the word perish and they think John 3:16, eternal condemnation.
Right.
But the Greek word apolomi, that's what this is, primarily refers to death or destruction. And when he says, may your silver perish with you, he's talking about two things perishing, the silver and Simon. Ultimately, before we read the end of the story, we might think that Simon's going to be like Ananias and Sapphira, and he's going to drop dead here, and they're just going to carry him out and bury him. But he doesn't. We're not actually told what happened other than Simon asks for prayer.
Right. And listen to this. So in verse 24, he says, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. I notice that Peter says, well, let's just get you rebaptized again, because obviously the first time didn't work. You know, there's no assumption that he didn't get it or he didn't really believe or his baptism doesn't count. This is just a discipline thing.
And Peter's saying, look, God doesn't need your money.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't need you. I mean, he can take you home if
right.
he wants to.
That's right.
And so if you get to stay here and serve him in this life, that's a privilege. That's an honor. And so we should realize that God can use us, and he wants to use us, and he will use us. But God is not limited, and God has a whole host of people. I've often heard people say, if you don't witness to the person that you meet for 1 minute, if you don't witness to them in the 1 minute you have to talk with them, well, then they may go to hell because of you.
Because you're the only person who might reach them.
On earth.
That's not true. God is omnipotent. He can use lots of different people and things
to
reach people.
I do agree that we should take every opportunity to share our faith. And if the opportunity is there, let's talk with people who are open. It seems to me we should be open and ready and available, but leave the results to God. Let the Spirit of God do the work. In the case of Simon, he believed. He's born again. And yet he had a significant problem in his very first week as a believer.
He needed to come under church discipline.
Right.
Don't make church discipline a salvation issue. Don't make church discipline a going to hell issue. If the Bible says someone believed, take the Bible at its word. That's our suggestion to you. So in answer to the question, saved or lost, we would say Simon the magician, because
saved.
He believed, was saved.
Thank you, Sean and Bob. It's always a surprise when the answer is right there in the text. Thank you for making that so clear. Well, maybe you, as a listener, would like to go deeper on subjects like this one and other ones you've heard on the radio broadcast in previous episodes. If that's the case, I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the website, we've got all kinds of resources available to you for free. Our print magazine, our podcast, our blog posts, event details. You can even give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue the work we're doing. You might even have questions or comments. You can reach out to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. That's our email address, radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to continue our series called Saved and Lost as we look at two conflicted characters, Ananias and Sapphira. So tune in tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.